meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon. Once again, this is Mike Stark sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener support to WNDZ. 7:50 a.m. Chicago. Today I have my good friend Nick Costello from HEAL,
Home to Enhance African Life.
Home to Enhance African Life.
H-E-A-L.
And your website, Nick?
www.healnigeria.org.
And Nick has, Nick and I have been friends for a long time, and today's show is going to be a little different. We're going to be talking about the needs in the other countries, mainly Africa, where Brother Charles will be greeting us shortly when he gets out of the traffic. But we're talking about providing much-needed water to that nation, to people that don't have water on. They've got to go get it. You know, potable water is part of our daily routine. We turn on the faucet, we take it for granted, and these people have to walk miles to get it every day. So, Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll go from there.
Well, I grew up on the southwest side of Chicago, suburbs, Oak Lawn, and my parents gave me a good upbringing with formation, Catholic formation, and I think instilled in me good values and a love for God. As a youngster, that just developed over time, and I ended up after my time in college with a slight—well, I shouldn't say slight, but a crisis, a faith crisis—I began to question and have some of my own doubts, but. I think the Holy Spirit led me at that time in my life to meet people who witnessed to me and helped me in my faith and in my walk with Christ. And I had a religious awakening of sorts, or you might call it a born-again experience. This was in my mid-20s. That led me, at that time in my life, into the seminary. So I believed at that point I was being called to the seminary and to the priesthood. And I ended up at Mundelein Seminary. This was in the mid-90s.
I could see you being a priest. I could definitely see you being a priest. You're such a kind-hearted young man.
Well, thank you. I'm not that young anymore. I mean, I'm pushing 50, but... and I'm still single, so who knows where God will lead me as of yet. But to get to tell my story in regards to my mission now, it was in the seminary that I met my current colleague, who is now a deacon, Deacon Leo Okonkwo.
Right.
And
wonderful man.
Yeah, and I know you know him, Mike.
Yes.
You've met him a few times. And we were seminary classmates in the late 90s, 98, for the Rockford Diocese,
You were going for the Rockford Diocese?
Yeah. My second stint in the seminary, I was Chicago at first, but then I switched to Rockford,
Okay.
Now that's another story.
But well, we've got an hour, Nick.
Yeah, okay. But we, yeah, want to get to get to heal. But
well, we might want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it just worked. It just my time at Mundelein was there for 3 years, and
wow. So you took it.
Yeah, I did.
You almost ordained a deacon then. You were just about ready to take that trip over to the Holy Land.
Just about. Yeah, just about. And I did make a trip to Medjugorje in 95.
Was this before you entered the seminary?
While I was at Mundelein
Seminary.
At
the seminary. Okay.
And I really credit the Blessed Mother Mary for, you know, for my call to the priesthood and to what I'm doing now, whether it's priesthood or not, or getting married. You know, we are still working on that. But
in the Lord's time, my friend,
well,
in the Lord's
time.
And
I mean, and I've done things to... you know, to probably stall and delay things, but anyway, I know the Blessed Mother has been, she's been the instrumental spiritual influence for me, and I think through people, through friends that I've just come to know, and I'd say Deacon Leo being one of them, and then some other people who have just witnessed to me and helped me, you know, in my spiritual path. But as I mentioned, I did go to Medjugorje in 95, and that was a powerful experience for me, and so it's been a long journey, and I met Deacon Leo in 1998, and that's when I first learned about his work in his country of Nigeria to provide clean water and education to poor and marginalized orphans, village children, and also provide skills training for widows who lost their husbands in one way or another, and who are very often in that circumstance pushed out even from their own families and are left to fend for themselves. So Deacon Leo, I learned about his mission to take in these people among his own, his countrymen, and to, you know, provide them with these things. And that's how this all got started 20 years ago.
Now, you come from the pizza business.
That's correct, yes.
You're Italian, and you make the pizza. You make the pizza.
Yeah, yes.
What pizza... we're talking about Home Run Inn, Chicago's very own.
Yes, we're talking about
WGN.
Home Run Inn Pizza. On my mom's side of the family, my mother is 100% Italian. I'm half Italian. My dad's Irish, and then some other things. So, but yes, my mom's side of the family is our family business, Home Run Inn Pizza. So in Chicago, we're very well known, and you know, our frozen pizza is the number one brand among all frozen pizza brands in Chicago.
And now a word from our sponsor. That's available at most grocery stores in the freezer, in the frozen food department.
Yes.
And I can tell you firsthand, you get the restaurants too, I can tell you firsthand, that's a nice pizza.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Thank
you. But you chose not to go into the line of work.
Well, I grew up in and around Home Run Inn.
Right.
As a grade schooler, beginning age 14 in the summer, that's where I worked. And then through high school in the summers, through college in the summers, I worked at Home Run Inn. And
did you bring a pizza to share with us here at the radio station? We're hungry. It's lunchtime.
I didn't. No, I'm
darn
sorry.
It.
I should
okay
have.
Shoot.
But but no, Home Run Inn, which my... began as just a tavern that my great-grandparents owned, you know, in the Cicero neighborhood on the southwest side
when
of Chicago.
When did it start?
It started in the 1920s just as a tavern that my great-grandparents, my maternal, my grandmother's parents owned. But then my grandfather, Nick, who immigrated here from Italy in 1926, and then married my grandmother when he came back from World War II.
Okay.
Where he was a mess hall sergeant in World War II. And he brought that food prep experience along with his
now, I'm assuming he was in Europe? Did he get to fight in Italy at all?
He wasn't deployed, but he trained soldiers here and served soldiers here.
Right, gotcha. Because they were prepared to go over there.
Yeah, on a base, an army base. And he took that experience along with his experience as a farm boy in Italy growing up. And when he married my grandmother, whose parents owned the tavern, that's when, in 1947, that's when they together began making pizza.
Okay.
And, you know, from that point, over the years, step by step, it grew into this pizza empire that we know today.
I'm way off track here, but from where we're going, digging wells in Nigeria, but where'd the name Home Run Inn come from?
Well, that came from, if you go to Home Run Inn and you read the back of the menu, the story is that across the street from the original Home Run Inn Tavern, there was a softball field, and someone hit a softball or a baseball, I'm not sure, that shattered the front window of what
it was a home run.
After that incident, Home Run Inn.
If they were in foul territory, it'd be called foul ball pizza, which is not as good.
That's not as good. So, but that story's on the menu. So if you go to any of the Home Run Inn locations today, you can read about it.
I don't need to read it. We just heard it. Yeah. I did not know that.
That's right.
Fantastic.
That's right.
So then what did you do?
But the family business, you know, there were aspects, you know, and I love Home Run Inn to this day, and I promote it. But, you know, there were just aspects of family business that didn't appeal to me, you know, which isn't to say I don't love Home Run Inn today and promote our family brand.
You're doing that right now.
Right. But, and Home Run Inn allows me, because of Home Run Inn and my family's legacy, it allows me to do the mission work I'm doing today and to be a steward, you know, because I see this as, you know, God wants us to be stewards of whatever we've inherited, whatever we've been gifted, however we've been gifted. He doesn't want us to bury those talents. He wants us to use them. So I see myself as, you know, as an ambassador for Home Run Inn, in a sense, to uplift the poor and the marginalized in a way that helps them to
Instead of digging wells, why don't you teach them how to make pizza?
Well,
you need water for that.
Yeah, who knows? I guess water is more
more essential. Yeah,
fundamental. Kind of,
yeah, I
guess.
I think so.
But you know, I've been to Nigeria 4 times now. I just got back last week.
Wonderful.
I was there for 3 weeks.
So we couldn't have done this show last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here today.
Yes. You know, and my uncle, my grandfather Nick's son, just recently died about 2 weeks ago. And he was the president of Home Run Inn, Joe Perino, since the mid-'80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's the one who grew the business over, you know, those decades and made the frozen product what it is today, the number one brand in Chicago. But, you know, I was telling, you know, I've told my colleague, Deacon Leo, and then the people in Nigeria where I'm working on this mission about my grandfather and about our family business, because we want people among the poor and the marginalized in Nigeria to be entrepreneurs. You know, we want them to tap into their own natural resources and employ themselves and their own natural and human resources to uplift themselves.
Provide for themselves.
And we just want to be, through HEAL, our organization, we just want to be a catalyst for that, you know, so that they can develop their own skill and talent and natural resources, which they have in abundance. They're very talented people. So, and just so with the encouraging that through faith and through evangelization, you know, that's what essentially our mission is in the practical aspect of it.
How's the Catholic faith over there?
Catholic faith in Nigeria, and I work in the southeast part of the country, which is predominantly Christian and Catholic, is stronger than I would have to say, without being a world traveler, stronger than anywhere else in the world.
You're going to say stronger than the Philippines?
Well,
or Mexico?
I can't say I've not been to the Philippines, but I would put the faith of the Nigerian people and the spirit-filled joy that they exhibit in their daily lives, the natural way that they relate to God and are able to communicate in terms of Scripture and, you know, referencing God's Word in almost the perfect way and just conversation. I couldn't think of a culture that has a stronger sense of their faith.
And you're bringing more of it to them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be right back after this quick break on Listener Support WNDZ, Chicago.
Okay. Friends, in all your plans for modern living, be sure to include Culligan Soft Water.
But how do I know if I need soft water?
It's easy. For example, take the laundry. If you have hard water, it combines with soap and detergents to make hard water scum. So your clothes don't look so good, and they wear out faster.
Do people wear out faster, too?
You might put it that way. Soap film will make your hair look dull, and it doesn't do your complexion any good, either.
I think I want a Culligan water softener.
Of course you do. And you can buy it or rent it. So in planning for modern living, in addition to the electrician and the carpenter and the plumber, be sure to call your Culligan man.
All right. Hey, Culligan man! He's apparently very popular.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
All right, we're back. And as you might have guessed from the Culligan commercial and Eddie Money, Give Me Some Water, we're talking about water here with Nick Costello. We were talking a little pizza, too, but now we're going to dig into the real serious part of the show where we're going to talk about the needs of these people, and you're enabling them to, support themselves, because without water, nothing happens. There's no life without water. So
that's right.
Let's talk a little bit about the challenges facing the folks in these villages that you go to visit.
Okay. Well, clean water is one of the big challenges, among others. Deacon Leo, my colleague, is in his part of Nigeria, which is, again, it's the southeast, and it's a cluster of villages called Mbise, which means five villages, actually. And it's very, very Catholic, probably one of the most Catholic enclaves of Nigeria. The Irish missionaries actually had a huge influence there in this part of Nigeria.
Really?
So
Irish people going to Nigeria?
The Holy Ghost fathers, the Spiritan religious order of Ireland. Yes, they were big-time missionaries in this part of Nigeria.
When?
I would like to say back in the late 19th, early 20th century.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, the water sources are your streams, your ponds, and if there's no well, and you're out in the remote villages, sometimes you're restricted to those natural sources. And Deacon Leo discovered in the mid '90s that people were contracting these fatal diseases. Malaria can be by a mosquito bite. But then cholera, diarrhea, typhoid, and some others can be contracted through contaminated water.
Uh-huh.
And so he noticed this among people in these villages where he just felt called to go in, a medical mission, but it was purely spiritual. He would go in and just pray for these people who had these fatal diseases. And he realized very quickly that it was from the contaminated water. So he got an opportunity to come and study in the United States as a seminarian. That's how I met him in 1998. But a few years prior to that, he had gotten a few people to support a well project for him in his village of Mbise, and he was the first one in 1997 to dig a well in this region of Nigeria.
So he dug a well, and then he said, you know what, I think I'm going to go over to St. Mary of the Lake, because there's a lot of water over there at USML, that's for sure.
Right, well, he used his opportunity to study and to continue a seminary formation in Canada and then in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
where I met him,
right.
to tell people about the problems and the needs people experience back home, which is how he started this water project, which is which the contaminated water is one of the primary problems.
So how hard is it to get one of these wells, to dig one of these wells, and to... You know, how much does it cost? What kind of stumbling blocks are in the way of somebody who would want to do this?
Well, I mean, first you have to drill the borehole and determine how many feet you have to go down to where the aquifer is.
But let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
How many dry wells do you drill before you find a good one.
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure if they can determine.
Do you know
whether
there's
water below or not without drilling a well? That I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I can't put a figure. I can just put a ballpark figure on what an entire project would to drill the borehole and then to erect a tower and a tank stand. And to have a mechanism to pump the water out is probably gonna cost from $75,000 to $100,000.
Whoa!
To do that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because
and this serves people. I mean, from now on, this will be.
But yeah, but if you establish that well, then you have, at the very least, running water for washing and for cleaning and for all of those needs. It may need extra purification. For drinking.
So you get a Brita filter or something. I'm just kidding.
Right. Something like that.
So 75 to 100,000.
But then you're at least, but then at least you have something where you don't have to go to the pond or the stream,
take your chances,
or walk maybe a certain distance to get. To get bottled water or plastic water.
Brother
plastic
Leo's going to touch on that because he was talking. He spoke at our church last Sunday.
Brother Charles, yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about how far people had to walk to get the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said it well. I just wish traffic wasn't so bad that he's still not here. But
right.
We've got a lot. You and I have a lot. We could go, you know, a long time with this, and we will. So you drill the wells, and then that. That village is taken care of. How many wells do you think need to be drilled or built?
Well, it's hard to say. Deacon Leo would be able to speak better to this than myself. But I think in the village where we're at, Deacon Leo has a well in his own family compound, which serves his home. But then he has some faucets or some spigots outside his compound that anyone in the village can come.
Wonderful.
And fill up their buckets with water that they can use all day. So he's sharing that water from his personal well at his home with everybody in the village. And then there's another one just down the dirt road at the school where we have a primary and secondary school that's serving the children in the school. Where we have about 180 students, primary and secondary students. So that's providing the running water there. But we try to provide it to others in the village as well. And it's so it they.
You need more.
You do need more. Yeah, I mean you do need more. But I mean what we're but with a well, people can come. People have to come and get it. So, I mean, whatever's there that
but that well
hasn't been used, and then
it's
we can,
running well. It's not going to run dry.
Right, and we can pump more because we have a generator.
Uh-huh.
So we can pump more water from the ground into the tanks. Okay, and then the tanks feed the buildings through pipes.
But there's maintenance as well.
There's maintenance as well. There's keeping the generator running.
Right.
That requires diesel.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel, yeah. But then people still have
so
to walk there.
So you need fuel for the diesel then?
You need fuel for the generator. Diesel for the generator.
For the diesel engine, I meant. So that's constant.
That's a recurring cost.
So
yes.
what kind of...
But then, and that it provides the lighting as well. Because
what kind of monthly, expense is that?
Well, you know, what we like to say at HEAL is we're developing children. We're educating children. We're providing a future for poor and marginalized village children and orphans.
Right.
So that service to sustain and develop the life of a child, which comprises these different costs of providing light, providing clean running water, providing food, because some of the children are boarders, so they're living at the school.
Mm-hmm.
But even the day students, we try to provide a meal or two a day, because their parents are subsistence farmers, or they're just selling non-durable goods at the roadside.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have disposable income to send their kids to school. So our mission is to serve those who wouldn't have education otherwise.
Right.
So what we're doing is we have to provide more. My point, we have to provide more than just their books and the teachers.
Right.
And the brick and mortar of the school. We have to sustain and develop, you know, their lives. So the cost of that for 1 year, for one child, is $1,500.
$1,500 for a year.
A year. And so we call that our HEAL scholarship.
Right.
Because we don't want to say, well, we've got to fill up the generator. Can you help us with some diesel?
Mm-hmm.
We want to say we're providing a scholarship for a poor village child who has a bright future, and you can really help him or her do that. And for an entire year, it only costs us $1,500.
Right.
Which is
so you can sponsor a child for $1,500.
About $4 a day.
And how?
And that includes the diesel. That includes the, you know, the everything involved.
And how would somebody go about sponsoring that? You have all these commercials on TV saying, "Oh, take care of this person." How would somebody, as we go into our next break, how would somebody do that?
The simplest way is to go to healnigeria.org.
Healnigeria.org.
Right. You can just review our website. There's plenty of information. You can go to our donate page. You can help us out with a one-time or a monthly gift. We'd appreciate that greatly.
I strongly encourage you guys to pray about that and consider that. We will be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to WNDZ. 7:50 a.m. Chicago.
Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th, from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Well, we haven't had much rain here, so there's no worry about the levee breaking. Although I did go with Ananuzo yesterday down to the lake, Lake Michigan. We've got a lot of water around here. The
interesting thing in Nigeria right now, it's rainy season.
Really? I won't even bother asking any more questions. You just anticipate what I'm going to ask. So let's talk about that. Go ahead. You talk, I'll be quiet.
No, well, there are two seasons in Nigeria. There's dry season and rainy season. So the rainy season is April through October.
Oh.
So
our summer, spring and summer, is their rainy season, and our winter when we get all that snow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't assume they get any of that over there.
Right. No, they do not.
It'd be good for storing water in barrels. But okay, right. So let's talk to expound upon that, my friend.
Well, I was just in Nigeria for 3.5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and this was my fourth trip, and just had an amazing experience once again. And there's so many things I could talk about.
We'll pick one.
Okay.
Discuss.
yeah. So the people I'm working with are the Igbos. It's the Igbo tribe. There are three main tribes in Nigeria. There's the Igbo, who are in the south and southeast. Then there are the Yoruba, who are in the southwest. And then the Hausa.
How's it going?
How's it going? The Hausa Fulani in the north and the central. And I'm working with the Igbos, and the Igbo are known for, and it's not just the Igbo, but that's my experience. So they're known for their hospitality. They're very strong in their hospitality. And when I arrived on this trip, I drove up with Deacon Leo into the courtyard of the school building, and I mm-hmm. got out, and I was wearing my African outfit.
I've seen that.
Yes.
I've seen some of your African outfits. Like, what are you wearing, man?
Over my trips, my hosts have given me clothes
mm-hmm.
To wear. And,
I want to borrow one of those for Halloween.
Yeah, I actually like them a lot. they're really comfortable outfits. So.
Yeah.
So, but when I go to Nigeria, that's what I wear, obviously. And so I got out of the car, and so all the students were there waiting for me, and immediately they came up. They put a big, it looked like a sombrero, but put it on my head. And I was thinking to myself, wait, I'm in Africa. Why are they putting a sombrero on my head?
It's a water-carrying device. Now, here's your bucket. Go get some water.
Yeah, but evidently, it's a farmer's hat. It's
okay.
popular in Nigeria.
Okay.
And so, and then this little girl, her name's Rosemary. I know her, but she gave me this plant as a gift. And then they put a colorful fabric around me, and then they started singing this song in their language. And every few seconds, they would say Nick Costello, and then go back to their language.
Insert name here.
And I thought, what are they singing? And so then they processed and they sat me down and continued their singing and dancing. And then they even did a few dramatization skits
uh-huh.
Of how the religious sisters of the mission go about helping people in the villages. So they did a little skit of a man who was crippled walking with his cane. And then he just suddenly drops and falls to the ground, and a few of the children then come up and they pray for him to be healed, and then they help him up off the ground, and you know, as a way of just showing in this format the spirit of this mission that they're all
helping each other.
Yeah, that they're all involved in.
Right.
You know, and so I'm just taking it in, and then and so this was just. The hospitality, you know, that they'll show any guest from a faraway land like myself, and really make you feel special.
So, does anyone speak English over there?
Yes, actually.
I mean, obviously, Deacon Leo does. But,
yes.
But you need somebody to translate for
no,
you.
No, actually, no, because English is actually their first language.
Oh, okay. They were just doing the performance in their language.
Right. That's right, okay. Because Nigeria was a British colony until they gained independence in 1960.
Right.
So the British were there and excavated oil there in Nigeria, and that was their colonial economic interest, and so they left behind a lot of their British system of government and other customary practices, including mm-hmm. the language, in Nigeria.
Okay. Yeah, I thought, I mean, because I've met several Nigerian seminarians at Mundelein, and
yeah.
Obviously there's several. My friend, it was kind of funny, my friend, Father Michael Grezik,
mm-hmm.
He's, well, got a place up in Wisconsin, and before he was a priest, we went to his cabin up there, and we were kind of doing some stuff, and we went to church. Now, this is in the middle of Wisconsin, up, you know, by Oshkosh.
Yeah.
Oh, we went to this little country church up there, Catholic, obviously. And it was a Nigerian priest in the middle of Wisconsin. I'm like, no, that's something. You'd figure you got some, big rotund, guy. You're like, okay, there, yeah, we're gonna the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know. And it was like it was a Nigerian guy, and there are a lot of Nigerians in our archdiocese here in Chicago as well. That really has been a huge boon to us because
it has.
The vocations numbers are down.
Right.
So we need that. We need those. And I need to remind everybody, we need to pray for vocations. We really, really, really need more young priests, more young men to pray about this and consider the priesthood.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Nigeria, vocations are in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And because the faith is so strong there. And I've noticed in my travels there and in attending Mass there and getting to know priests there, the quality of their vocations is very, very high. These are priests who can preach and hold your attention for an hour and reference scripture in ways that really hit the mark. And it's really incredible to experience that.
And when you say celebrate Mass like we do, we're celebrating Mass, but they really celebrate it with more pomp and circumstance than you're used to seeing here.
But pomp and circumstance, but also true devotion. It's really amazing. And in a way that integrates their culture and tradition seamlessly. They will go from singing the Our Father in Igbo, in their language, and then they'll do the Sanctus in Latin perfectly. And it's almost uncanny. And what they put into it, into the Mass, I mean, it really is amazing. And in the music and they have a choir, usually they've for Sunday Mass, they've got a choir, and their choir director usually does an incredible job with them, and they'll use their own instruments, the bongo drums, I don't want to say the rattles, but and then the jugs that they that they hit with like a cloth or
the cloth.
Yeah, or a brush that goes over the mouth of the jug that
like a snare drum.
makes a certain sound, that complements the drums. But they're using these instruments, to complement sung hymns that are both traditional and in their own language, but then also in the Roman Catholic tradition as well. And so that's what's so impressive about it.
So I bet the first time you went over there and went to Mass, you were just what you grew up with here in Chicago, what you're used to, and then all of a sudden, it's like when we were growing up, the guitar masses, which I didn't like the guitar masses. I never liked that in the 70s. But
yeah.
I'm dating myself. But nobody else will date me, so hey. That had to be a really interesting experience for you, seeing the different cultures and how they celebrate Mass. I mean, I'd love to go to some of these places. When you go to some of these Masses, like with the Indians.
Yeah.
Or just going over to John Cantor's across the street here, the way they celebrate the Latin Mass. It's just very interesting to see how other people celebrate our Mass.
Right.
The Mass of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Mass, which is where it all comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And another interesting story from my trip this time.
You will have to, we'll have to get back to that after this commercial break.
Okay.
This is Mike Stark sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported WNDZ Chicago.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Alrighty, we're back. This is Mike Stark along with Nick Costello. Unfortunately, Brother Charles is not going to make it. He just texted me during the commercial break. He's lost in traffic, went the wrong way or whatever. So now he's on the south side. So anyway, I was going to share him with you today because he came and did a wonderful discussion at our parish, my parish up in Lake Forest on Sunday. And he's from Africa and in Uganda specifically, and he just talked specifically about the need for water over there. There's so many people that need the basic things that we take for granted over here. Like, you want to grow vegetables or grow anything, you need water, especially if you're in a drought area. And he was telling me that these people would wake up in the morning and they start their day before sun because it gets blistering hot over there, and they walk with these jugs on their head. I was kidding Nick about that, but walked 2.5 kilometers in the morning, go back, get some water, bring it back before they start their day, and then do that at the end of the day as well. And it's something that really touched my heart, and I just wanted to share that because I want more people to be aware of what people are doing. And immediately I thought of Nick, because Nick's been doing this for a long time, and I really liked what Brother Charles had to say. And hopefully, Lord willing, at some point he'll be able to make it into the studio. He's going to be in Chicago for a while, so we'll see if we can get him in later, maybe sometime in the near future, maybe sometime later this month. So we'll get back to you, Nick. You were teasing us with a trip story right before we broke into the last commercial.
Yeah, well, there's a couple dynamics that you experience when you're in Nigeria that you just won't get anywhere else. So there was a mass that I went to with Deacon Leo near the village, well, in the village, close to Leo's village. And the mass was the first mass of this newly ordained priest who was a member of this parish we attended. It was St. Peter and Paul Parish. And so Deacon Leo's friends with the pastor there, this Father Tony. And I know Father Tony as well, because he comes to the school in Mbise 4 days a week and celebrates Mass for the students and for the sisters. So we went to this Father Stephen's Mass, his the newly ordained priest. And so I walk in. Well, Leo's walks up to the sanctuary to serve as deacon
right.
for the Mass. I walk in through a side door and just find a pew to sit. And so now, when you're an American in Nigeria, you're usually the only white guy that people see. And they've got a friendly name for that. When they see you, they say Onyocha, it's called, Onyocha, which means white guy. So, and they're saying it while smiling and laughing. So, so I walk in and I sit in one of the pews. And so Father Tony sees me sitting in one of the pews. And I think he thought that I was just too far removed from him and from Deacon Leo. So he actually walked down from the sanctuary and motioned for me to come out of the pew, and he walked me up into the sanctuary next to the altar boys. So so now I'm in full view of everybody. And maybe when, you know, maybe I was, you know, not wanting to be too conspicuous or something. But so the mass commenced, and as it got around to the offertory, so, you know, how in the offertory here, when we attend mass, the ushers come with the baskets,
right,
and you chip in, you know, whatever, your envelope or your bills or what have you.
Your 2 copper coins.
Yes. In Nigeria, they just put a basket in the aisle right in front of the altar, and everybody walks up.
Oh.
And there may be some parishes that do
I've
that
I've been
here.
To a parish that did okay. that somewhere, and you're just like, okay, it's almost like, okay, if you don't go up there.
Yeah. So,
you so better go up
a
there.
A long line, people are coming up and putting their, you know, they're chipping in to this basket. And I'm just watching as the choir's singing. So what happens then is, you know, my eyes are closed with singing, and then I open my eyes and someone walks by me. It's still the offertory. And they're holding a dead chicken.
I was like, where are you going with this?
And they walk past me into the sanctuary and into the back. And I just, I thought I was dreaming or daydreaming, and I just thought, just see this. And I asked Father Anthony afterwards, Father Tony, what? I saw this person walk up with a dead chicken. He's like, that's part of the offertory. That was their offering.
Okay. All right. So I have a goat for you,
that's
my friend.
rural Catholicism in Nigeria.
Oh, so. that's funny. I'm like, okay, where are you going with this story? Because people are, like, okay, here's a story. Okay, come on, cut to the chase, buddy. A dead chicken.
I finally
yeah.
got there.
So there's a punchline. That's amazing.
Yes.
You also have an event coming up this fall for Heal.
Yes.
It's what? How many years have you been doing this now?
This
Tell us a little bit about that.
This is going to be our fifth annual benefit event.
Mm-hmm.
October 4th. It will be at Assumption Parish on Orleans and Illinois Street,
mm-hmm.
downtown. There'll be free parking. But you can go to healnigeria.org again, and you'll see the information about our benefit event. And it'll be a great event. We've got three of the Messengers of Justice sisters. These are the religious sisters who work with Deacon Leo in the mission. They will be there. And then we'll also have Father Jim Hyde.
Don't know him. Don't know
giving our keynote Ooh. Speech.
Oh wow!
Yes.
Well, he won't want to miss that.
But the theme Ooh. Is going to be missionary discipleship through self-emptying in
okay.
Africa.
Wonderful. Well, that's October 5th.
October 4th.
4th.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. HealNigeria.org.
Yes.
Check it out. All right. Well, this has been fun. I've had a lot of fun having you here.
Thanks, Mike.
And I'm glad to share your story. And Mary and Father Bush are going to be back next week, so I'm going to be back to my normal fun stuff of promoting the Truth and Life Bible and the Cardinal George documentary that we just finished. So for the Truth and Life Bible, if you're interested in an audio Bible that is endorsed by everybody, including Pope Francis and Pope Benedict, go to downloadjesus.com. I would like to thank Mary for inviting me to be part of this program for the last month, and Armand Cavateri, who runs the station here, or at least this program, and Nick Stanzik in the programming department. He's been wonderful. He's helped me cut all the different musical tapes and everything else as we played different themed days with different people. And my guest, Kevin White, Catholic Citizens of Illinois. Carl Amari, my partner and co-creator of the Truth and Life Audio Bible and WGN Radio Theater. Jerry George from Shalom World Television. Of course, Father Jim McElhone from the Archdiocese of Chicago and WordMadeClear.org. Yesterday's guest, Anna Nuzzo. That was a wonderful show, and we had a wonderful time afterwards, even though Father Hyde didn't meet us. And, of course, today's guest, Nick Costello from Heal, Nigeria. So thank you very much. Until next time, I'm sure they'll drag me in here to do another show if you guys will listen. So thank you very much, and God bless you all. This is Mike Stark signing off.
Well, my Jesus, give me water, that everlasting water. Jesus, give me water, that was not from the well. Well, my Jesus, give me water, that everlasting water. Jesus, give me water, that was not from the well. Well, Jesus, give me water, that everlasting water. Jesus, give me water, and it was not from the well.
The time is now.